This message was originally given at Covenant Baptist Church in Valdosta, Georgia. Let's listen to the Word of God from our Sunday morning service.
Certainly an encouragement to pray alongside each of you that offered prayers tonight and hear from Craig about their ongoing work with international students. For sure. Can y'all hear me, everybody? Okay. I ask you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 tonight. Our text will be verses 9 and 10. For the purpose of context, we'll begin reading in verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is faithful. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And now our text. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 9 begins, and so, or for this reason, or for this cause, and so from the day we heard, so we ask, you know, what is it that he has heard that is being prompted here? We refer back to verse 4 that we did read. To gather context here, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. So at the risk of oversimplifying here, because of all that Christ has done on your behalf, and the fact that when you heard the gospel, you trusted Jesus and have love for one another, we have not ceased to pray for you. We will not quit praying for you. This is familiar language. Those of us who've been studying in 2 Timothy on Wednesday nights, you will remember when we read in 2 Timothy 1:3, I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. We have not quit praying for you. We have not stopped praying for you. We are not finished praying for you. Or perhaps, I will not stop praying for you. We could even say it another way. I will continue praying for you. For Paul, prayer was a discipline. Prayer was a posture of his life. You know, MacArthur says that this in his life is having a God conscience and a people conscience. And those things come together multiple times a day, resulting in prayer. Obviously, we don't know all that Paul prayed about, but we do know for certain that he prayed regularly, he prayed often, he prayed daily for the saints of God. I think we speculate on why there is prayerlessness as it is in the church. Maybe it's owing, at least to some degree, to what we spend our time praying about. We pray most often, I think, reactionary. We pray about things that are here, things that are close to us, things that we see around us, which results in many times praying for temporal matters. Please don't misunderstand me. We should pray in response to the circumstances around us. But that is certainly not all we should pray about. And here in Colossians, Actually, verse 9 all the way through 14 is a prayer that Paul prayed for the saints there in Colossae. He's teaching us how to pray. He's teaching us how to pray for one another, and in this way, it's a way that aims at eternal matters and ultimately the pleasing of God. So when it comes to prayer, Paul is an example to us, and it's my hope that we learn from him tonight. So, how should we pray for one another? Finishing verse 9, he says, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul is asking that the saints be filled, and this means literally filled to the top, or perhaps more clearly, complete. So this does two things right off the bat. It communicates that we must seek to be filled with the knowledge of his will fully. But it also communicates that we are not complete. We're not yet filled. We have room to be filled. So we know that there is always room to be filled in the knowledge of his will. And just as a way of warning, God forbid that any of us would think that we have arrived or don't have any room to learn. Paul specifically prays that the saints will be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, the will of God, or maybe I should say, differing positions on the will of God, have sparked controversy throughout the history of the church. Now, I'm not going to give God's will a full treatment here tonight, but I do feel it necessary to point out what, more importantly, maybe Paul is not saying. When considering the will of God, you will hear terms like God's will of decree, or his decretive will, or his secret will. When people use this term, they're looking in the rearview mirror. They're considering all things that have come to pass, which we would agree is the will of God. We don't know what this will of God is, this secret will, if you will, except to look back on history and conclude that all things that have come to pass are the will of God. You also hear about God's will of command, or his preceptive will, or his revealed will. This is the will of God we find in the commands or directives, the precepts, the principles included in God's word. We refer to that as his revealed will. Now, there are other ways that people refer to God's will that I'm not going to get into tonight, but most commonly these two are how we try to describe God's will so that we can understand it better. For our purposes tonight, and to understand Paul's prayer for the Colossian saints, he's referring to the revealed will of God, his word. He's asking that these Colossian Christians, that they may know completely God's will, ultimately revealed in his word. He's praying for the saints that they will know God's word, that they are filled with God's word, that they are saturated with the word. So somebody may ask then, what is the will of God for my life? Well, I can tell you without a doubt, it is God's will for your life, for you, to honor your father and your mother. It is God's will that you shall not murder. It is God's will that you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or anything that is your neighbor's. 1 Peter 2:15 also tells us, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. I don't know exactly what that doing of good is that he's referring to, or what it will look like. But when you hear the ignorance of foolish people, that would be a good time to start looking for some good to do. We know that it is God's will that we do good. We know God's will. My point here is we know God's will by knowing His word. The will of command, or His revealed will, of the revealed will of God, informs for us decisions that we will make that are hidden in His secret will. One of the most common questions we get asked, particularly by young adults who are in college, is, what should I do with my life? Or maybe the most popular is, who should I marry? I don't know. But I can probably tell you, based on principles in God's word, what kind of job you should not pursue, or what kind of person you should not pursue. But those things would be informed by the word of God for us to discover God's perfect plan for us. We know God's will by knowing His word. Then he qualifies this knowledge with the phrase, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and to include spiritual would contrast this true wisdom and understanding from what false teachers may have been offering at the time. Spiritual wisdom and understanding carries the meaning of making or rightly dividing the Word of God, ordering the precepts of God, and making the proper practical applications of it to our lives. So again, knowing His will is knowing His Word, but after this qualifier, knowing His Word correctly and applying it to our lives. Why do we do this? Verse 10 tells us very clearly, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Through Scripture, and these are not related in any way, but through Scripture you will find commands to be still at times. You'll find a command to stand or to stand firm. You'll even find a reference to running or running with endurance. But here in Colossians, and also in Ephesians, if y'all remember our study in Ephesians in chapter 4, Paul uses the word walk. He uses this word when he speaks to our sanctification and maturity in Christ. In fact, Ephesians 4:1 is really the reason we renamed our morning Bible studies on Sunday mornings deeper walk classes. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. But here in Colossians, Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, a manner matching or consistent with or in keeping with being in Christ. This communicates intentionality. This is owing to our initiative and discipline in so ordering our lives consistent with the Word of God, that we are progressing in Christ-likeness. So when you think about this walking in a manner, think movement, think action, think progress. This requires our responsibility in action, pursuing our own sanctification. We are justified fully, but we are not sanctified fully. We are a work in progress. You may have heard the adage, we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. We should think of this in proper biblical context. God is working in us, and it is our responsibility to strive for sanctification. We are walking, not sitting still. We're progressing. This is a marathon, not a sprint. That does not mean there's no urgency to our sanctification, but think of it in these terms: consistency, faithfulness, perseverance, diligence, discipline. These are all our friends in this pursuit of sanctification. Perhaps the best and most succinct passage to speak to both our responsibility and God's power working in us is Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So as we work, we must realize that God is working in us. As mundane as our work, our obedience is at times, this is where the power of God in the work of sanctification is reality. And he is pleased. He is pleased by this. And Paul prays that immediately after this. Paul prays just that they are fully pleasing to him. It is fully pleasing to him. It is fully pleasing to the Lord when we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit in every good work is the result of salvation. And it is seen in our worship, in our trust of God in all circumstances, in our giving, our generosity, when we show mercy, when we share the gospel, in the way we speak to others, in service to others, both inside and outside the church. How we submit to one another, how we submit to authority in our lives. As saints of God, Paul is praying that they will bear the fruit of good works. This is the practical application of biblical principles to our lives. So what this looks like is many times every day we are faced with decisions that will please God or not. We reach a crossroads of bearing fruit in every good work or not. Paul is praying that the Colossian Christians are so immersed in his word that they will live, that they will live it out. They will live according to it, that they will live according to the revealed will of God. Now, this phrase at the end of verse 10 captured my attention. It's intriguing to me. After it talked about the knowledge of his will, it says again that we will increase in the knowledge of God. Let me give a quick summary. So Paul says, because you embraced the gospel in faith, we're praying for you. This is oversimplification. And then he asks that you completely, that you know completely the revealed will of God. So you will progress in sanctification, please him in every way, bearing fruit in good works, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I wrestled with this a little bit, and it seems to me that this knowledge of God is also an experiential knowledge of God, not inconsistent with his word, of course. I'm challenged, though, that if we are immersed in the word and progressing in sanctification, as we trust him more and more, and our faith grows, and we obey him more and more, and we experience him working in and through us, we increase in the knowledge of God. Vodi Bakum once shared that he and his mother would get up on Saturday mornings to clean their home, and they would raise all the windows in the house, and he said, we'd turn on old Motown. And he said, I loved all the old Motown songs. He knew them all. But he said he discovered that he really didn't understand Motown until he met his wife, Bridget. He illustrated it something like this. He and Bridget were in college, but at two different universities in Houston. Vodi did not have a car nor a driver's license. So the opportunity for them to see one another, particularly during the day, was very limited and almost impossible. So one day, he managed to work it out to go to her university unannounced. He wanted to surprise her. And when he found her, she was surprised. And of course, she says, "What in the world? How did you get here? What are you doing?" And he replied, "Baby, there ain't no mountain high enough to keep me from getting to you." He just thought he understood those lyrics, but after meeting Bridget, he knew he understood those lyrics. He shared that story really to illustrate how singing a hymn prior to conversion and then singing that same hymn after conversion was totally different. And perhaps you can relate with him to singing hymns prior to your conversion. You understood the words, but you had not experienced them in a real life practical way. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. A redeemed man hears and sings these words differently than the unredeemed. So this is what I'm trying to say here. The experience of loving God's word, obeying him, and trusting him increases our knowledge of him in ways we would not know otherwise. Paul is asking, praying that the Colossians would increase in their knowledge of God, that they will know the riches of knowing God through trusting him and obeying him more and more in their life. Will you pray for one another like this? Will you pray that we will be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom? Will you pray that we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God? Will you pray prayers for one another like this? That's our challenge tonight. Father, I ask you just this tonight. Will you fill us with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding? I pray that we will walk in a manner worthy of our calling. I pray that you are fully pleased in your people here at Covenant. May we bear fruit in every good work and increase in our knowledge of you. Father, teach us how to pray. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Covenant Baptist Church in Valdosta, Georgia. At Covenant, we strive to provide a fellowship that is sound in doctrine, biblical in practice, and loving in our relationship with each other and the community. For more from our elders and teachers, please visit us at covenantbapt.org. That's Covenant, BAPT.org, for teachings, articles, and more information about our community.